truly a blessing to be in the house of God, even on the Wednesday or Sunday. But when we are together in the house of God, it is a blessing. Let us read together from the Word of God, from Ephesians chapter 2. Epistle of Paul, the Apostle, to the Ephesians, chapter 2. Efesima poslanica svetog apostola Pavla, druga glava, želim da se nađe i da se pročita Bogu na hvalu i na slavu, a nama za utjehu i nauku. Ephesians, chapter 2. And you had he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who had made both one, and had broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Apostle Paul wrote this chapter to the church in Ephesus, and in the first chapter he says, and to all the faithful, all the saints in Christ Jesus. We know that the Apostle Paul was chosen to be the apostle for the Gentiles. And the church in Ephesus were full of Gentiles. It was a great city. It was a very big city. And we know that there was a great riot there when Apostle Paul came to preach. And they said that he preached a new religion. To them, it was new religion. They didn't realize at that time, and many did not ever realize, that that was the true religion, the one that can save, that can give salvation. But some did believe, and the church was formed from those Gentiles, and one of them was in Ephesus. So he's writing to them in all the chapters, and like he did in the other chapters, reminding them, praising them, thanking them, praying for them, encouraging them. But in this chapter, as it's written in the beginning, he said that, and you had he, God, Jesus Christ, quickened, made alive. He's reminding them through the chapter that they were dead in sins. He said the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of flesh and of the mind. And we were the children of wrath, even as others. He is not reminding them of their past to sort of rub it in, how bad they were. Even when we read, we don't read so we can feel guilty how we were in the past when we were Gentiles, when we were sinners, when we lived in the flesh and the lust of this flesh. But he is reminding them to appreciate, to be more thankful for God's grace and God's mercy. As we can read in the rest of the verses, he said, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he had loved us, even though we were dead in sins, he has made us alive together with Christ. And then in parentheses he writes, by grace you are saved. Something that we need to remember every single day, that we are saved by grace through faith. If we would not have faith, how would we be able to be saved by grace? We need to have faith. And he also reminds them, as he's reminding us. Today he's writing this to us. When he was in Ephesus, he spent some time there. He wrote to them. But today this is written for us, for all of us. And tomorrow perhaps for the next generation. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. That's what basically grace means, gift of God. It's something that we received and yet we did not deserve. We did not do anything to deserve God's grace and his mercy and his love. Only thing that we have done is to receive God's wrath. But because God is full of love, compassion, and pity, he has sent his only son to die for our sins so that we can have redemption, so that we can have salvation, so that we can have the joy, the everlasting joy that no one can give other than God through Jesus Christ. Faith. We know that without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Bible said so. We cannot please God without faith. If we do not have faith, we do not have anything. It's the first most important thing for us to have is faith, to believe. Now, Apostle Peter writes, Second Peter, first chapter, verse number 5. He says, besides this, he said, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. he starts out to adding to your faith. Now, where was the faith added to? Does not say faith was added to something. All the virtues, all the goodness that he mentions here, Peter, it's added to the faith. That is the foundation. That's something that we need to have. If we do not have faith, you cannot add anything to it. It's like trying to hang a coat on a coat rack without being up there. It will fall down. There's nothing to hold it. So faith is very, very important. If we don't believe that there is God, we can't pray to him. We cannot come to him. We cannot have salvation. We do not have anything. So faith is very important, to believe that there is God. And the church in Ephesus had the faith, but still Apostle Paul was reminding them not to go back to the weak and beggarly elements, but to be strong in faith, to have the new life in Christ, to be obedient to the word. And not to ever go back into the bondage of this world. And the same thing goes for us. It's the same reminder for all of us. I think we all need it. We are not different than the church in Ephesus. Now, to have the true faith, now that we know that there are three kinds of faith, three types of faith, I may say. There is a temporary faith. The people quickly believe. They receive the word very easily and quickly. But when some kind of troubles or temptations or something arise, we lose it. That's the one that lasts for a short time. Then there is the factual faith. Seeing is believing. We know when Jesus arose and Thomas said that, well, they told him that Jesus came, he showed himself, he arose from the dead. He says, if I do not see the prints of his nails, the wounds, I will not believe. He saw so many miracles that Jesus has done. He was with him from the very beginning, heard him speak. He saw most likely him raise the dead, heal the sick. There was nothing that he did not see. And yet, he wanted evidence. He wanted to see the prints, the wounds. He said, until I see it, I will not believe. So Jesus knew his weakness. Naturally, he showed himself the second time just so he can see. And he even told them to touch his wounds, to touch his hands. And he asked him not to be unfaithful, to believe. Then he did believe, but he had to see it. There are many even today that need to see some kind of evidence, some kind of a proof. They need to see things and they will believe. That's a little bit easier. If you see things, then your faith is not very strong. And that goes for all of us. And sometimes, since we are all weak, even though we've been redeemed and we've been baptized, we received the Holy Spirit, sometimes we need a little push. We need a little reminder. We need a little miracle in our lives. Sometimes maybe we all doubt a little bit. We need some evidence. We need to see something so our faith can be stronger. And God knows that. And he does. He does miracles in our lives because it fades away sometimes. And I speak for myself first. I need to be reminded many times that there is God. Need to pray more. So in some of these verses here, he's still telling them that they were without Christ, without hope. They were strangers. The Gentiles, pretty much they were to Jews, anyone that was not a Jewish, that did not have Jewish background, was Gentile. Gentile basically means nation, other people, someone else other than Jews. So he's reminding them, remember that being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, and he speaks about circumcision, and that they had no hope without God in the world. But again, now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And he also speaks later on, where's the verse? Where Jesus has broken down the wall of partition, the one that was separating Israelites from the Gentiles. We know the Gentiles were not able to go into the temple. They only had the one little room where they were able to go. It was called the Court of Gentiles. And they were not able to go past through that, through those doors to go into the inner court. Only Jewish people. But Jesus Christ, when he died, when he shed his precious blood, he has broken that wall down. There's no more partition. There's nothing dividing Israelites from the Jewish people in Christ Jesus, in spirit. There's the one song we sing, 119, one true shepherd, one true fold. There's only one. One God, one baptism. There's no two gods, only one God, one baptism, one Lord, one salvation. There's only one way, and Jesus is that way that leads to everlasting life. So being reminded who we were is good for us to appreciate God's mercy, God's grace, God's love, the redemption that we have received. I think it is good to be reminded, not so much to go back and to remember what we have done, but to be thankful where we are at now. And to be thankful to God that he has called us and that we have answered. Because God calls many people, but not everyone answers. Blessed are those that hear the call and answer it. And sometimes many will think, well, we have time. I'm still young. I might live to be 90. The end of the world is not here yet. But you know, end of the world comes every day. When someone dies, the end came to that person. The end of the world came to him or her. So we do not have to wait for the end of the world to come. It can come any day. When our life is finished here on earth, it is done. There are no more chances. God will not call you when you are dead. So today, as the Bible says, when you hear the voice of God, when you hear the call, do not wait. Tomorrow might be too late. And then the third type of faith, I mentioned the temporary one that flares up quickly, the factual, what we need to see in order to believe. And there's the saving faith, the true faith that every believer should have, the saving one, the one that can save, where we don't have doubts, where we don't wonder if God is real, we don't wonder if he can do what he promises us that he will do, where we have the full trust, the full assurance that God sees everything, knows everything, and he can help us in need. And we are always in need. So when we pray unto him, let us pray with the faith that he does hear us and that he will help us when we are in need. Now, what is the source of faith? How do we receive faith? How do we get faith? Is it from our parents? Do we learn it somewhere in school, in church? Where do we get faith? It doesn't just come. We can't just say one day, I will start believing. The Bible says the faith comes through word of God. We have to hear it. We have to know about it. And we do have the word of God before us in every language. Many of us have many, many Bibles at home. We have the word of God before us. It's not whether we have it or not. It's whether we open the book to look and see what is written in this book of life. This is truly a book of life. If you obey these commandments, which many times we hear are not grievous, if we follow the footsteps of our Savior and our Redeemer Jesus Christ, we will find salvation. But we need to be obedient. We need to have the faith, the true, strong faith in Lord Jesus, in God, and follow Him with our heart, with sincere heart. And we will be blessed and we will find salvation. That's the promise of God. And when God promises something, He will fulfill it. That's the faith we need to have, and I believe we all do. Then he speaks about reconciliation, both unto God and one body by the cross, having slain that enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. So he preached, Apostle Paul preached to the Jewish people. As I mentioned earlier, the salvation is of Jews, as he told a Samaritan woman. But he said, the day is coming when God will look for the true worshipers. Those, it didn't matter whether they're Jews or Gentiles, but the ones that want to truly, truly worship God and praise Him and obey Him and follow Him, that's who God is looking for. Those that are ready and willing to serve Him with sincere and pure heart. It says, not by works, lest any man should boast. I'm kind of going back and forth here. But it is speaking to them not to boast, not to be proud, not to think that they received this on their own by some kind of a works that they have done. And we need to feel the same way. It is a gift that we received. And Apostle Paul also reminds the Gentiles that they were the wild olive branch that were grafted into the original so they can be easily broken off, and not to boast, not to be proud, but to be humble, submissive to the word of God, and to be obedient. Then he also speaks about that we are when we are built upon the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And he also writes the apostles, and apostles were the ones who were following Jesus Christ, and himself, Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone. Cornerstone was, when they were building, it was either first block or stone or the last one. The first corner one that they would put on the foundation, or the last capstone as they were finishing the building. And the Bible says in Revelation that he was the first and the last, Alpha and Omega. So if we build our faith on that solid, true foundation, and we allow Jesus to be the cornerstone, the first and the last one, then we will be able to build our house on the foundation, and we will be able to abide. We will be able to stand through regardless of what comes our way. Let us never build a house on the sand. We know what happens if you put anything on the sand. When the waves come, you can't even see a trace of anything that was on the sand. So it has to be built on a solid foundation, whose builder is Jesus Christ himself. And we become a holy temple in the Lord. And we're built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. That's what the Word of God is telling us. Perhaps there's much more to be said in this chapter and many other chapters. Apostle Paul even pretty much says the same thing in the next or a couple of chapters. Let me see, I think in the fourth chapter. Pretty much same thing. He says, chapter number 5, he's also reminding them, talking to them about light and darkness. And in chapter 5 in Ephesians, verse 8, he says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, so walk as children of light." And we need to prove what is acceptable unto God. Many, many different places we can read that we need to walk in spirit and not to fulfill the lusts of the flesh, which sometimes is a little bit hard. We do live in flesh. There are many temptations. We get tempted every single day. And no one can really say that, "Oh, I'm strong enough. I will not heed to the temptations." We're all tempted. But if we trust in God and we ask Him to help us, to give us the strength that we need, we can overcome the enemy. You know, Satan has no power over us unless we allow him to have power over us. He cannot do anything to us. If God is on our side, we are stronger than the enemy. But if we allow him, then we will be dead again. We will go back into the weak and beggarly elements. But we have repented. We changed. We've been in prayer. We've been baptized so that we can have everlasting life, so we can have the joy that no one can give on this earth. So let us never, never go back to the bondage of Satan and his world. But let us always strive to be more and more faithful unto him, to be sober in faith, spiritually and physically, that we would stay on this narrow, it is narrow pathway. Sometimes it's hard. You have to be fully awakened when you walk on a narrow road. It doesn't take much to get off the road. Even when we drive, we know that if we just take a moment to look down or left or right, we will end up in a ditch. First, we get reminded. We go over to those little grooves that are on the road, side of the road, loud noise. It wakes us up. But if we don't wake up, we'll end up in a ditch. And it can be detrimental. Of course, in spiritual sense. So let us always not lean on our own understanding, but ask God to help us to be in our midst and to provide all the things that we need so that we can be victorious, so that we would not backslide, that we would not go left or right, but stay focused and stay on this road that leads to everlasting happiness. And may God bless his holy words within our hearts, and may he add much more than I was able to speak. Amen.
Previous verse before this a beautiful chapter, we see a verse which is entirely incomprehensible. It is a verse that we cannot ever exhaust. It talks about Jesus Christ, who is made the head of the church. And it tells us here, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Let's think about this. Jesus Christ, who fills all in all. Jesus Christ, who is higher than the high, who has conceived and created the universe and every living thing that is seen. He fills all in all, yet he, it tells us, is incomplete without us. It says that the church is the fullness of Him who fills all in all. I can understand that I am incomplete without Jesus, but it tells us here that He is incomplete without His church. And so, dear ones, are we His fullness? Are we His fullness? The fullness of Him who fills all in all. You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead, no life. He quickened, gave us life. Why? It tells us later, verse 4, but God who is rich in mercy. It doesn't say He's just rich. We know He's rich in glory. We know He's rich in majesty. We know He sits high and lifted up. We know that the angels and the seraphims and the cherubims are crying out, holy, holy, holy. We know He is rich in holiness. We know but He is rich in mercy. Mercy towards me and you, dear ones. That's our God. He quickened us, made us alive through Him and the power of His resurrection. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. What is the gift? What is the gift? Salvation comes obtained through His grace by our faith. The gift is salvation. He saves us. His great mercy, which is rich in mercy, that's our God. And so, dear ones, what is our life? What is our life? It's for all of us to consider. We know who He is, or do we know? Or do we even care? Do we just like to hear that He is? Paul, before that verse, when he talks about, but God who is rich in mercy towards us, he talked about a world, about us, about a world that is the depravity and the darkness of the world. And then he says, but that but is what all of the issues hinge, the great issues of everything. Whenever time you say but, everything hinges on that. But God, who is rich in mercy towards us. We were in depravity, darkness, but God, who is rich in mercy towards us, He gave us His Son. Brothers and sisters and dear friends, let's think about that. Let's take that home in our hearts and our thoughts and let that renew us and create that faith in us so that we can receive that gift, salvation, through grace that God gives so freely to those that love Him. Amen.